I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can always watch us on the Civic Media's YouTube channel. You should follow me, Maggie Dawn Show, at Maggie Dawn Show on the X, Insta, and Facebook. I've been tweeting more than usual lately. Seems I might have a couple of things to say. But I mostly want to hear what my next guest has to say, a man who actually has gotten things done on a bipartisan basis, a man who is actually run complex governmental departments, a man who has served not just in state government, but has already served in federal government, a guy that basically knows how to get things done for his constituents and puts people before party. My friend and yours, first congressional district candidate, Peter Barca, former congressman, former assemblyman, former head of the Department of Revenue here in the state of Wisconsin. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Peter. Great to have you.
Maggie, terrific to be with you again. Thank you so much.
It's good to have you. There has been a lot that has happened this week over the past few days in terms of rhetoric from Donald Trump and his surrogates, both with respect to his political enemies, with respect to people of color, specifically Puerto Ricans. And finally, within the last 2 days, with respect to women, I wanted to give you an opportunity, Peter, to address that rhetoric, either in each part or as a whole, as you wish, sir. Please, what are your thoughts?
Well, I you know, personally, I've tried my entire career to be respectful of people, whether you disagree politically or not. I feel like that's so important. And, you know, and it's unfortunate for any political leader that they don't recognize the fact that you have a certain moral leadership, you know, to try and bring people together in this country. And that should always be the goal. You know, even in my campaign, I brought up differences between my opponent and I where we disagree on policy issues. You know, he wants to give tax breaks to the top 1% and lower, you know, corporate taxes, even though they're already lower than what the U.S. Chamber called for. And it'll cost the middle class money. I want to provide tax breaks to the middle class, to working families, to small businesses who are the engine that drives the economy. And, you know, to me, it's, you know, we're called upon, I think, to talk about issues that affect real people and not to, you know, do smear campaigns or, you know, we should be setting an example for our children, quite frankly. And I just think that's so important. And, you know, sadly, my opponent has run ads that have nothing to do with issues, that he through innuendo says some group that maybe supports me has a position, so that's my position, which bears no resemblance to the truth. And it's just so unfortunate. I hope people take into account that, you know, sort of the ethical and moral standards that this country has.
Peter, do you feel like there's a double standard? And I don't just mean, you know, for the presidential campaign, because clearly there is a double standard between what is being demanded of Vice President Harris and what is demanded and expected of Donald Trump, as well as a double standard in terms of media coverage. Do you think that's true in these down ballot races as well, especially between you and your opponent? I mean, you've mentioned his attack ads.
Well, it's unfortunate. You know, part of the problem we have today, and that's why it's so important we begin the process to end Citizens United.
Yes.
Is that you have these, you know, mega special interests, these huge corporations. You know, he's gotten a ton of money from Big Pharma because he's voted 3 times against negotiating prescription drug costs. He's gotten tons of money. He's gotten close to $200,000 from credit card companies because he voted to raise their credit card fees. And, of course, they don't put in their ads, you know, hey, vote for this person because he doesn't want to negotiate drug prices. They just bring up, you know, just things that poll tests that have no basis in reality, quite frankly. And that's unfortunate. And I think that's what's corrupting our politics is the big money and these big corporate interests that have so much money at stake that are acting contrary to the public interest.
Yeah, I think it is absolutely unconscionable that your opponent, again, voted against trying to limit credit card fees and voted against trying to negotiate with Big Pharma over pharmaceutical price. I mean, that's just bananas to me. And I can't believe anybody in the first CD would want to vote for a guy that really doesn't, by his voting record, care about the middle class at all. It's shocking. I want to talk more about the economy. Yeah, go ahead, Peter. Sorry.
Well, yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you know, obviously he's put women's health at risk with, you know, with his, you know, working so hard to take away women's reproductive freedom, even voting against, you know, ensuring that people have a right to birth control, for goodness sakes, in a vote that came up in the Congress. And so that's, you know, part of the reason I ran is that there's so much at stake in this election, and we have a do-nothing, dysfunctional House of Representatives. And when they do things, sadly, they're taking away freedoms. They're operating for special interests rather than the public interest. So we've tried to at least make people aware of that. And so it's at the end of the day, you know, you feel like I know what I'm writing for. I know who I'm fighting for. And it's to have a strong, vibrant middle class. And when you have it, actually everybody benefits. That's what's so amazing.
Yes.
Whether you're wealthy or middle class, if you have a strong, vibrant middle class, that's what made us the economic envy of the world.
I wanted to ask you in that same vein, Peter, House Speaker Mike Johnson was recently caught basically on a hot mic responding to a question saying you're going to get rid of the ACA, right? Response from Speaker Johnson, right. Where do you stand on the ACA? Where does your opponent stand? What do you want voters to know about your views and what you want to get done in Congress with respect to making and ensuring that everybody has access to health care and that health care is affordable?
Well, I appreciate the question, Meg, because it's one of the most important issues, quite frankly. I mean, what is more important than people's health care? And my opponents made it clear, as part of a Republican study committee, that of course they want to get rid of the ACA. I mean, the Republicans in Congress have tried that dozens and dozens of times. And thankfully, you had somebody that truly was an independent, like John McCain, that gave that big thumbs down and stopped it. Because now we know, as we all knew was the case, but now it's evidently clear, they didn't want to replace it with anything. But I think the most important thing people need to know is that the ACA goes away, so does your protection against pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
Because healthcare companies will not protect people unless everybody's covered. And there's not a question in my mind that if they are successful, if they control every element of government, the ACA will be gone, and people will no longer have protection against pre-existing conditions. And you're talking about, you know, millions of Wisconsinites that would be adversely affected that do have pre-existing conditions.
I also wanted to drill down a bit, Peter, on the lies that are being told on the right, sort of about polling and what people should expect in terms of outcomes. I wanted to give you the opportunity to speak directly to First Congressional District voters, all of you folks out there. Peter, What do you feel? What is your belief when we look at election security, people being able to cast their vote, getting the counts done correctly? Speak to your district, Peter, and people's anxieties about this election process.
Well, it's sad. In fact, Maggie, it's a good question because the Secretary of Revenue 2 years ago during the election years, we would meet with our agency with various groups, you know, League of Municipalities, Towns Association, you know, all of those groups out there that are really trying to make a difference. And when the Towns Association, they came in, you know, generally they want to talk about zoning laws or tax incremental financing. They said their number one issue was the fact that they couldn't keep election officials anymore because so many of them have been threatened by people. Yeah. I mean, what a sad commentary. I mean, these are people who are our neighbors or citizens. My mom was an election worker for 30 years. And, you know, it's people that we all know. And you've got observers, Democrats and Republicans, as it should be, making sure that the counts are proper. And there's not a doubt in my mind that precinct by precinct, they're doing an accurate count. And we do have backups, thankfully. We have paper backups and the ability to double check that. And our election clerks, both Democrat and Republican, have done an excellent job over the years. And I think it's sad that more members of Congress, there's a bipartisan group, small group though, sadly, I think it was less than a dozen, that started this effort to say that they would abide by the election results. And, you know, unfortunately, my opponent wasn't one of them. Of course, he almost never is on, you know, bipartisan kinds of efforts. The Lugar Center, which is the only one that rates members of Congress for, you know, all of their activities, you know, says he's in the bottom, well, been in the bottom half of the group. I would be in the top 20 because I've always worked across the aisle. I think it's so important to give people confidence in their government and to know that people are working on their behalf.
I think, Peter, that is the most important attribute that any of us, whether we're conservatives or progressives or independents, or usually I don't vote because I think it's all the same, that metric right there, there's basically one standard bearer organization that rates elected official bipartisanship. And your opponent is in the absolute bottom. He is a hard right MAGA Christian conservative. I mean, I can't even call the guy a conservative because it doesn't, he doesn't abide by any sort of standard measure of conservatism. He's so far hard right. He's in the bottom, the absolute bottom rating of that bipartisanship. While you, Peter, are in the top 20 because your entire career has been about bipartisan solutions. I've talked about this once on the show before with you. I'm going to talk about it again, Peter, because you were brave. Foxconn was derided by the Democratic Party here in the state of Wisconsin. You voted for it anyways. Of course, we had some problems with that, but what it opened up was the infrastructure investment that has made this massive investment and incoming business of Microsoft there that's going to create a whole bunch of jobs. And sometimes elected officials have to make decisions that are contrary to what their party's marching orders are. And you, sir, had the courage to do that, and it's providing dividends for your constituents. If you can address why it is so important to approach things from a bipartisan support, why that has been such a hallmark of your career in government, Peter.
Well, I think because, first of all, you can ensure policies are more sustainable. When you work together to try and find common ground, then there's a much better chance it'll last for the next 20 years rather than just be repealed the next time the party leadership changes, which happens pretty regularly, unfortunately, or fortunate, depending on one's perspective. But secondly, you know, it's just so important that, in my judgment, that you're really in tune with your district. You're aware of what the people in your district have sent you there to do and what you campaign on. I mean, when I was a member of Congress, I went against my, you know, a Democratic president to fight against NAFTA because I knew it would lead to the deindustrialization of America. Hmm. And that's another area where my opponent and I just drastically differ. He wants more of these kind of, you know, trade deals. And I'm for free trade, but I only want to support deals that are free and fair. And sadly, virtually every one of them have been free and not fair. And that's what's led to deindustrialization. That's what's led to people not being able to make a living. That's what's led to you know, I think so much hardship in America. When my parent, you know, my dad immigrated to this country, you could get a job and support a family of four by working full time at an industry that provided benefits. And sadly, because these industries have left for Mexico and China and Indonesia and, you know, other places, we've lost those kind of good paying jobs.
Folks, that's Peter Barca, candidate for the 1st Congressional District. He's for free but fair trade deals, lower taxes for the middle class, supporting the ACA and improving it. Of course, access to birth control and the restoration of women's reproductive freedom, lowering credit card rates and keeping drug prices low through negotiation with Big Pharma, all things that his opponent apparently doesn't support, which I just don't get. Thanks so much, Peter. It's always a pleasure to have you. Good luck in the home stretch, sir. Up next, I'm going to have Terry Barr joining.
Thank you so much, Maggie.
Thanks, Peter. Always good to talk with you. I'm going to have Terry Barr joining me for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin this week. We got to have some good news going into this big old weekend before the election. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't say.